resuming our studies of the Gospel of John. We think it's important to preach through entire books of the Bible. One of the reasons for that is that it helps pastors to stay away from their hobby horse issues. And it also means that pastors are forced to bring to the people of God lessons, truths, themes that may not resonate with them. But it's not about the pastor, it's about the Word of God and what He speaks to His people. And so as we preach through entire books of the Bible, we're going to have a diversity of material, which is very edifying for our souls. This morning, we're in John 6. We're going to begin our reading in verse 14, and we'll read through to verse 21 together. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. Grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God is forevermore. Therefore, please listen with attentive hearts and ears. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Let us pray together. Our loving Father, we thank you that we have had the privilege this morning of acknowledging that you are the God of all creation, of those things that we see with our eyes and also of those things that are invisible, even a heavenly host. You indeed are the Lord Sabaoth, or the Lord who controls all of the hosts of heaven. And so, our Father, because we pray for things that are invisible, we ask that you would be pleased to send the Holy Spirit to our minds and to our hearts, enlightening our understanding, giving us grace to understand your precious word. Help us, Lord, to hide it within the very depths of our being, for we know that your word brings life and transformation. And we ask all of these things in our Savior's holy and precious name. Amen. A number of years ago, I was invited to preach on a number of occasions in a beautiful little southern town called Daphne, Alabama. And after preaching, I had the privilege of walking a few blocks away from the church to the very Bay of Mobile to a tiny little park. And I remember all that this park had in it was a picnic table and a park bench. And so as I was decompressing from preaching the Word of God, I sat down on the park bench and I looked out and I saw a few posts where there used to be a little bridge. And I noticed a number of pelicans sitting on top of these posts, and around me there were beautiful oak trees with Spanish moss that was hanging down. And of course, because it was Alabama, it was very hot and it was very humid. But I remember thinking to myself, this is very, very beautiful and it's very tranquil. And so as I enjoyed all that God had created around me, I was very, very thankful to Him. Well, the next time I came to the very same church to preach again, I went to the same park, but this was immediately after Hurricane Katrina. And so that beautiful little park, which was once so quaint and beautiful, was now a disheveled mess. It was destroyed by the hurricane. Now this morning, I'd like to invite each and every one of us here this morning to hug the hurricanes of life. And believe me, if you're a child of God, you are going to have hurricanes that blow through your life and through your experience. And there are two things that you can do in response to the hurricanes of this world. First of all, you can hate the hurricanes, or second of all, you could hug the hurricanes, recognizing that God is in complete control and that the sovereign creator of the entire universe is the very one who has ordained this hurricane for your edification and for your spiritual growth. So I'm asking every one of us here this morning to do something which might appear on the surface to be absolutely ludicrous and crazy. I want us all to learn to hug the hurricanes of life. Why do I say that? Well, in this passage of God's word, you'll find that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who at this point were very fatigued as they were serving God and serving needy people in this world, they got into a boat and they started to row across the Sea of Galilee, which is about 6 miles wide and 12 miles long. And as they were doing so, there was a horrendous storm full of fury that started to beat down upon them. And the word of God says over and over again, wherever this account is recorded in the Gospels, the Bible tells us that the disciples of Jesus Christ were absolutely terrified. But lo and behold, in all of their fear and in all of their terror, the Lord Jesus Christ began to walk on the waves to come to their rescue and to come to their deliverance. Beloved, one of the reasons why you and I worship the living and the true God this morning is because we believe that our Savior loves us to such an extent, in the midst of all of our density and confusion, the Lord loves us to such an extent that He's willing to walk upon the waves, to ride the storms of life, as it were, to show His love and power to your experience and to mine. And so hopefully enabling you this morning to hug the hurricanes of life, I'm going to invite you to ask three questions when you go through those times and those seasons. The first question that I think that you should ask as you hug the hurricanes of your life is this: who is Jesus? Who exactly is this man that God sent into this world to be my Savior? But along with asking the question, who is Jesus, you also need to ask the question, who am I? And you're going to find that you're very similar to the disciples of Jesus Christ. Although you're privileged in so many different ways by the enlightening truth of the gospel, you're going to find, as I see in my own soul, that I am so like the disciples in this passage of God's word. Who is Jesus? Who am I? And thirdly, why has God ordained this problem in my experience? So let's first and foremost hug the hurricanes of life by asking the question, especially as we go through them, who is Jesus? Very important question to ask. And one of the reasons why I wanted to read the preceding verses, beginning in verse 14, is because it tells us exactly who Jesus is. Notice what we read in verse 14. When the people saw the sign that he had done, he just took 5 loaves and 2 little sardines, 2 little fishes, and if you don't like sardines, I hope that you do grow to love sardines. They're good for you, and I think they're excellent. But anyway, 5 loaves and 2 little fishes, the Lord Jesus Christ multiplied these things, these humble offerings, so that he would feed 5,000 men, not including women and children. And so when people saw the sign that Jesus did, pointing to his glory, they tried to take him by force and to make him their political ruler, what John tells us is their king. And so Jesus then was unwilling to be taken by force and to become a political leader or a national ruler. We're told in our passage this morning that Jesus, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Okay, people are trying to take Christ and to make him an earthly king. And it's explicit in our passage that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have none of it. He's not going to allow himself to become an earthly leader of an earthly kingdom. Okay, our Savior, we get the lesson. We understand that you are not like any political ruler or any national leader that this world has to offer. Whatever you're telling us in this passage of your word, we're seeing that you're different, you're unique, you're set apart, you're exalted. Okay, Jesus, if you're not an earthly king, who are you? And it's immediately after Jesus Christ refuses to be exalted as an earthly king that he shows us that he is a king. but in a much higher, much more glorious, transforming way than you and I are used to thinking. I'm not this type of a king, Christ is saying, but I am this type of a king. And what the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say then, by his actions, is that he is the king of all created order. Everything is under his sovereign jurisdiction. He is the ruler and the reigner over every detail of your life and of my life. This is the king, beloved, who is being exalted in this passage of God's word. And so I hope that you don't look to the Lord Jesus Christ as a mere earthly leader, but you'll recognize that he is a king, but in a much more glorious way than you and I might be accustomed to thinking. So what type of a king is the Lord Jesus Christ? What type of ruler is he? Well, as we study God's word this morning, we'll learn that he is a very purposeful king. We don't see it in our text, but in the exact correlation in Mark chapter 6, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to get in the boat and to row across the Sea of Galilee. And so in our passage, we find them doing the very thing that the Lord Jesus Christ invited them to do. But Christ is in control. Christ is purposeful in our passage of God's word. And beloved, one of the things that you need to remember, and this is one of the lessons that we've been underscoring as we study the Gospel of John, is that the hurricanes that beat down upon you and blow through your life, those hurricanes are purposeful. Affliction doesn't arise from the ground. Adversity does not come from the dust. The Bible is explicit. There is a God of all providence, a God who is in control of the whirlwind and of the storm. The clouds are the very dust of his feet, and he has lessons that he has purposed that you would learn through the storms and through the trials of life. Does anybody know anything about this morning? God is in control of your hurricanes. Christ is the one who told his disciples to row across the lake, and you might be thinking to yourself, as long as I'm smack dab in the center of the will of God, life is going to be easy, right? Life is going to be perfect and pristine. There's not going to be one little ripple upon the waves of the world. My life is going to be beautiful. Beloved, this passage explodes that type of thinking. Is your life going to be blessed? Will you know a peace which passes all understanding? Can you enjoy a joy which is inexpressible and full of glory? Yes. But one of the things that we're learning is that our king is not like an earthly king. He's much more glorious than an earthly king, but he's purposeful in the hurricanes that he ordains for your life and for mine. So please don't think, simply because you're in the will of God and you're attempting to serve his kingdom in this world, that life is going to be peachy keen, that you're never going to have any issues or never any turbulence. It's the exact opposite in what we're seeing in this passage of God's word. Notice, please, though, that along with being a purposeful king, he's also a prayerful king. We're not told in our text, but we are told in the Gospel of Mark, that one of the reasons why Christ commanded his disciples to separate themselves from him and to row across the Sea of Galilee is because he desired to pray, to commune with his Father in heaven, and to call down the blessings of God upon his believing, fledgling people. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who communes with the Father. And beloved, when you pass through the storms of life, don't be surprised if all types of scum, is that too hard of a word for us this morning? All types of scum rise to the surface in your life. One of the reasons why God ordains that you and I pass through the trials is so that we would recognize those sins that so easily beset us, that we would learn that it's by grace and grace alone that you and I are saved and remain saved. And one of the things that you'll notice in your own life, probably, is that when you pass through the raging storms of this world, your faith might be shaken. Has anyone's faith ever been shaken through the storms and adversities of life? Don't be surprised if that happens. And you know what's going to happen? You may feel your own weakness, which I pray God you would understand. And through all of your struggles, as the hurricanes rage around you in this world, I hope that you will hear the precious words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Simon Peter. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith would not fail. Why is it that you and I don't apostatize from the faith, especially when life is hard and we don't know what God is doing? And Lord, I can't make sense of this situation in my experience. Lord, I see the promises of the word, but it doesn't seem like the promises of the word are meeting up with the providence of God. Lord, I don't understand these things. Why don't you and I abdicate? Ultimately, it's because Jesus Christ is doing the very thing that he's doing in this text. He is a purposeful king who commanded his disciples to separate themselves from him, but he's also a prayerful king who is interceding for you and for me. Why do I believe in the preservation of the saints, the perseverance of the people of God? Why do I believe that if you're truly saved, you will never lose that salvation? Is it because I think that I'm so strong, so resolute in my own determination, that I will never apostatize from the faith? I praise God that my salvation is not in my hands, beloved. The reason that any one of us perseveres is because we have a Savior who is a prayerful king, who is pleading effectually that you and I would never apostatize or abandon the salvation, which is the only salvation that you and I can learn and be saved by. He is a purposeful king in the storms. He is a prayerful king in the storms, but he's also a present king in the storms. Notice that as the waves are raging in this text, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was distant for a time, but he walked upon the very waves to show his power and his grace to his people. Along with being purposeful and prayerful, he's present. You know, I like to listen to sermons as I drive around, and I was listening to a sermon by someone here in the Denver area this last week, and I remember the opening prayer of this pastor. At first, I thought it was a little bit irreverent, but the pastor prayed, God, I pray that you would show up. Show up. We have a Savior, this text is saying, who shows up. He's there for us. He tells us not to fear or be overwhelmed by the hurricanes of life, because he's going to be there with us in the very middle of all of the raging winds. Amen. All of the waves that beat down upon us as if somehow we're going to sink beneath the waves, even though Christ loves us and is there to provide for us. Beloved, one of the questions that you need to ask yourself as the hurricanes of life come in your direction is so simple. Who is Jesus? And this text is saying he's not an earthly king. He's much greater. He is a heavenly king. He has absolute jurisdiction, power, sovereignty, dominion over everything, including the hurricanes that beat down upon you in this life. But the second question that I invite you to ask as you hug the hurricanes of your experience is this: who am I? Who am I? And what you're going to find from this passage of God's word is that you are a witness, but a witness with weakness. You are a work in progress. Does everyone recognize that? There's not one single person here this morning who has attained the highest heights of virtue and of godliness. We all have miles and miles to go. So you and I are works in progress. We are masterpieces in our God's hands, but he's continually fashioning us into the very people that he would desire us to be, which means you have rough spots. You have blind places in your soul. And so God is trying to teach you the very thing that he was trying to teach the disciples in this passage of God's word. I want you to think about this. I have a thick head. Don't tell me I know, Pastor. You've been our pastor here for a number of years. We already recognize that. I have a thick head. And so I totally see myself in what's happening with the disciples in this passage of God's word. Think about this. You stand before a man, and this man takes 5 pita breads and 2 sardines, and he feeds about 10,000 people. 5 pita breads, 2 sardines, feeding about 10,000 people. How would you respond to that? I hope that you would be arrested. Whoa. This is the guy. This is the Messiah, the anointed one. This is the answer to all of my sin problems. This is the Savior of my soul. You would probably stand in awe. But no sooner do the disciples see Christ do that, they find themselves in a storm and they're terrified. We're not dealing with a little trickle of fear here. These men were paralyzed, seized by fear, completely forgetting the very lesson that was so clearly revealed to them in the glory of Christ. They should have been thinking to themselves, you know, the very Savior who just multiplied 5 pita breads and 2 sardines to feed 10,000 people, he's not gonna fail us. There's something that he's trying to teach us in this storm, especially as we remember he's the very one who told us to go in this direction, and now everything, all hell breaks loose. Does anyone ever study the Word of God? And yet a few moments later, or a few hours later, it's as if you have read nothing. It's as if everything that God was revealing to you in his precious word went in this year and went out this one. Does anyone ever suffer from having a hole in your head? Well, the disciples had a hole in their head in this text. And one of the reasons why God has given us this text is because it's so similar to me and to you. Beloved, we take a long time to learn the lessons that God is in this storm. God has purposed this storm. God has a reason for these winds that are beating against my body and howling in my ears. God is in this thing. Do you believe that? Well, this is the very lesson that the disciples had to learn in this passage of God's word. Who is Christ? Always think about that question. Who am I? Always think about that question. And thirdly, ask the question, why is this problem here? Now, we may not have all of the answers to that question. A lot of times, I think if we look at the storms of life, we'll have to say at least partially, the storm is the storm of my doing. I have sown to the wind, now I'm reaping the whirlwind. This is my storm. Okay? Humble yourself before God in that context. Repent of your sins and receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one of the things that we're going to see in this passage of God's word is that this problem was there so that God's people would learn to live without the bodily presence of Jesus Christ. There is separation. Notice that. Christ commanded his disciples to row across the sea. We're told in the Gospel of Mark that he saw them straining at the oars. Wait a minute, you might be thinking. Look, they're 3 or 4 miles out in this lake. They are almost literally up the creek without a paddle, except they did have a paddle. They were straining at the oars, but they were up the creek. Has anyone ever been there? I think you know exactly what I'm talking about here this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted to be separate from his people because it's when he is separate bodily from us that the greatest lessons that we learn are for us. They become a part of our experience. One of the reasons for the problem is separation. Christ, if you were here, none of these things would happen. Christ is saying, oh, really? In fact, I am here, and I'm the one who is sent this very storm in your direction because I want you to learn about me through the midst of this storm. But there is separation. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ promised us that it is expedient that he goes away. Lord, if you are only here speaking to my marriage, speaking to my husband, my wife, my children, my employer, my doctor. Lord, if you were only here bodily, everything would evaporate as far as fear, confusion, difficulty. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to be separate. He said, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I do not go away, the Comforter, the Paraclete, will not come to you. You see, it is in the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And by the way, his body is in the highest heavens. And the Bible tells us very clearly that the heavens must retain him until the restitution of all things. One of the reasons, by the way, I don't believe in a literal thousand-year reign of Christ upon this earth is because Acts 3 tells us that the heavens must retain the body of Jesus Christ until the restitution, not of some things, but of all things. Christ is going to come back, but he's coming back on the last day. But you see, Christ is in heaven. And because he's in heaven, he has sent us another Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, who could be with your heart and my heart all at the same time. We don't believe in what's known as the ubiquity of the body of Jesus Christ, that he could be present in more than one place at one time. That's why I believe that the Catholic Mass is an abomination. It's telling us that Jesus Christ is there bodily, as if somehow a human body can be in more places than one. Jesus Christ is a perfect human being like you and me. And although sometimes I might wish that I could be in more places than one, I can't. My body is located in one place. And beloved, Jesus Christ purposely separated himself from his disciples so that they would begin to await for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete who comes from heaven. Beloved, he's dwelling within you if you're a Christian. So there's separation, there's trepidation, or paralyzing fear in this passage of God's word. And have you been paying attention to our worship service today? I just tried to give you a little bit of a flavor in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the amount of times that God comes to his people with two words, fear not. Amen. You ever need that? I need that. Just the way I needed my friend to speak so clearly to me. Trust God. Boom. It's not heavy with theology. It's not 10 miles deep in its profundity. It's simple. It's clear. It's authoritative. Don't fear. Take courage. Live in light of what the Word of God is teaching you about Jesus Christ and who he is. Don't allow yourself to be paralyzed by fear that would so easily overwhelm people who don't have faith in God. You know, there is a vertical dimension in your life and in mine. We look up. The trials of life invite us to look up and to see that God is working through these situations. And because we have that vertical dimension in our lives, and we believe the very thing that this passage is saying, we're not overwhelmed. We may not be happy with circumstances, but we're not overwhelmed because we know that God is in control of this. Amen. And that he has ordained something very good for me. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you able to own that today? All things work together for good. I'm not saying understand it perfectly, but I'm saying own it, embrace it, hug the hurricanes, because God has good things in store for you through the storms that are beating down upon you. So there is separation, there's trepidation, but also notice that there is transformation. Christ came walking on the waves. They thought it was a ghost at first, but they noticed that it was Christ who said, "Fear not, it is I." They immediately invited him into the boat, and as soon as Christ got into the boat, there was another miracle that took place. The boat was immediately in the place where they were going. Now, this text is not teaching us that all of your problems are just going to dissipate. Jesus, I invite you into this hurricane, and that means the hurricane is just going to be gone. No. There are times, though, where when you pray, God is pleased to answer immediately and to deliver you immediately. It can happen, beloved. And I think you and I should be looking for answers to our prayers. Our God loves us. He has provided eternal deliverance for us, but there are times when he is pleased, as we see in this text, to deliver us earthly from our storms of this world. Boom, he's in the boat. They are in the very place where they were going. That's another miracle. And that happens in our lives, and we praise God for that. But this text is not saying that you should believe the health, wealth, prosperity gospel. You believe in Jesus, all of your storms are gone. Life is tranquil, beautiful. No. But it is assuring us that Christ is in the very midst of the storm with us, that he has profound, transforming lessons that we need to learn. And beloved, one of the great texts that teaches us that he is a much greater king than we could ever imagine is this one right before us. Lord, I don't know what's happening in my life, but I believe that you are so glorious that you're going to reveal your heavenly power through this storm. And you're going to draw me closer to yourself. You're going to open up my understanding so that I will love you more and more, even through the hurricanes that rage around me in this life. Beloved, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you don't have the very thing that this text is speaking about. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, I invite you to look up. Learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very one who walks upon the waves of the sea to reveal his power and his grace in all of our weakness and in all of our fear. I invite you to trust him and to love him. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that although we are such simpletons, and although we're so dense in our learning the precious lessons of the gospel, that you are a God who is patient day after day with us. Our Father, help us to see ourselves and the disciples of Christ in this passage, to own our density, but to learn the wonderful, beautiful, transforming lessons that Jesus Christ is the Savior who walks upon the winds and the waves to show his power and grace to his needy people. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, at this time we're going to prepare for the Lord's Supper, celebration of the Lord's Supper.